Title of the word is Be the Light. Three little words. No, wait a minute. Terry used that last week. I can't do that. When we really understand and experience this, it's very simple, but it's also very powerful. It can set us free from so many things and give us an understanding that we need of the Father. Being the light is very simply Christ is the light within us. And realizing that we're all called to live in that light. It's that simple. What we tend to do, though, is we tend to substitute light with our own traditions. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. Traditions in and of themselves are not bad. If we go back to the garden, we have two trees, the tree of knowledge, the tree of life. Well, the tree of knowledge had what? Good and evil on it. Now, the evil knowledge, we don't need anyone to talk to us about that. Do not kill, I'll go through the Ten Commandments. Your conscience lets you know what's right and wrong. But a lot of times it's the good knowledge or even the good traditions that can get in the way of the tree of life. We can have a good tradition, but we need to recognize it's still from the tree of knowledge. It doesn't mean it's what God is doing. Now, why is it so important to deal with this issue of traditions and to be able to discern? If we're holding too tightly to certain traditions, we can be resisting the Holy Spirit and not know we're doing it. Amen. We're going to look at that a little bit this morning. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7. We'll read verses 7, I think, through 13. I received an email from someone this week, and they were talking about this and said one of the statements she made was, setting the purpose is to set God's people free so they can freely worship God without religious ideas and traditions getting in the way. Thinking about that, yes, that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. He wants to set us absolutely free that we can give God the worship He's looking for from our life without traditions, religious traditions getting in the way. Mark chapter 7, what verse are we starting with? Let's start with verse 6. The last part says, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men." He was also saying to them, "You nicely set aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition." And we can stop right there. Verse 13 says, "Thus, invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that." Now, he was talking to the Pharisees. We need to look at this. It's one thing to say we have all these nice traditions, but we need to examine by the Spirit, are they in some way invalidating or nullifying the working of God's word in our life? Remember John chapter 9, when Jesus came to the man that was born blind? What did the disciples say? Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, why did they say that? Because it was Jewish custom and tradition. This goes way back to the Old Testament, that if someone had that disability born that way, someone did something wrong. That was became a tradition. And what did Jesus say? Neither. His condition is here so that the works of God can be displayed in them. In other words, so God can be glorified by healing him. So that's where tradition can be seem very right to us, yet not be a revelation of what God wants to do. Can we look at a few things, and we're going to get to this thing of light, because how we hold traditions can be blocking us from simply being the light of Christ. Let's talk about church attendance. As I look at all these empty seats. Most people, and you'll like what I have to say about it. We have these traditions of, if you belong to a church, you might say that. I'm talking about going to a building, belonging to an organization. You're required to attend. If you ask pastors about it, they'll tell you, yes, you're supposed to be here every Sunday and maybe three times a week, and of course tithe and everything else. And it's interesting how much Jesus talked about that. About people coming into buildings and meeting together once a week. I'm being sarcastic. I don't think he had much to say about that. We emphasize it. Why? It's a tradition. And I understand the tradition. You want people coming regularly to keep the organization going. And you ask a pastor about that, and they'll say, well, the scripture says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. How do we get from that, the tradition where you've got to be in the same place every week, sitting in the same seat? What the scripture talks about and what Jesus said, remember, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in your midst. He's talking about the value of fellowship. He says, hey, when you come together, something good happens. He's not talking to support the organizations or what we've built up, but we've had tradition handed down to us. Now, is it a good tradition? Sure it is. I get up every Sunday morning. I'm glad to be here. And if there wasn't something happening here, I'd find someplace else to go to. And I'd always be thinking, I wish it was like what I knew at Living Springs. But anyway, that's a good tradition. It's a great tradition. But let's understand that it doesn't make it the Word of God. The Word of God is for fellowship. Now, I want to get to something here, because a lot of people are under bondage. They go to what you call church. They've been guilted into it. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. It's a sin not to be here. Have you heard years ago someone would say, and I won't mention names, but if you miss a service, you could be missing that piece of the jigsaw puzzle. You know, things like that where, oh my gosh, I'm missing God if I don't go and be with these people every week. That tradition gets in the way of your relationship with the Lord. Because people can come to church out of guilt, out of I should be here. And I guarantee you, if should be is a motivation, your awareness is being restricted. You get to assemble with the believers. It's an opportunity. It doesn't have to be in a building somewhere. I have such wonderful fellowship with so many people, and one very close friend in particular. We'll get together, and we'll be talking about nothing. And all of a sudden, revelation starts flowing. It's not a meeting. We don't go, okay, it's your turn to pray first, and then I'll bring the word, or you do this. It's not. It's organic. It flows. Heart to heart, that's what fellowship is all about. So the tree of life says, value your relationship with others. Let it be life to you. Tradition says, belong to an organization. You got to do this, you got to do that. Now, do you see where tradition can get in the way of the reality of the word? And we can look at a lot of different areas, and we won't this morning, but we're conditioned by tradition. And we don't see where it restricts our understanding and revelation of what God wants to speak. When God speaks, your heart is set free. Where you're ruled by tradition, you're probably going to find some chains in your thinking, some bondage. Leadership is another area. You know, we have such traditional views. And tradition is often affected by the climate of the age. We're in an age where celebrities, I mean, that just poisons everything. And you see the same thing in the church. Views of authority, making idols out of people. And people will go, well, no, I'm not doing anything wrong. No, that's what everybody else is doing. That's what they did before us. That's just tradition being handed down. I'm not talking about true authority, submitting to authority, the things that make, you know, the way the Spirit flows. I'm talking about where people make idols of other people and think it's okay. That's where tradition deadens our spirit. What does God say about leadership? Leaders are like, read in John, he talks about washing the disciples' feet. Leaders are given to express God's authority to set you free so that you can know him. Okay, well, let's move off this. So you can think of a lot of areas where tradition is maybe impacting your walk with God. Turn with me to John chapter 8. Verse 12. You know, Paul said in Galatians 1:14, he talked about how zealous he was for the traditions of my father. He talked about the traditions he was taught. And it's interesting how he forsook all of that to know who Christ was. He gave all that up. He says that is just worthless. All those traditions don't compare with just knowing who the Lord is. John 8, chapter 12, says, I am the light of the world, Jesus is speaking. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus is the light. If we have Him, we have the light of life. Very simple. Everybody's worried about how to be a ministry and all this stuff. It's real simple. I'll tell you what your ministry is. You don't have to go to your closet and find all those reams of prophecy and thou shalt be an apostle, prophet, whatever. All that's fine and good. But I bet you with all those words on all those shelves you may have, it doesn't make you feel any more secure in your relationship to the Lord. Identity is created by a revelation from the Father, hearing that voice of approval. We're all called to be light. Whether you do it as an apostle, a prophet, or anything else, if you have a ministry and the light isn't coming through, you're simply playing a role. You have a form without presence. I don't care what my label is. I don't want to waste any more time trying to explore labels. I want the light to come through. Traditions get in the way of light if we hold on to them. God wants us to let go so we can discover that light. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Do not worry. I'm not going to read every scripture about light this morning. It may feel like that, but just a few that... Let's see. Where am I? 2 Corinthians 4. I love this verse. It talks about, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. When the light comes through us, now what's the gospel? Lots of good doctrine, lots of good preaching? No. The gospel is the light of Christ coming through, and when that happens, who do they see? The Father. That's how the Father is seen. In Romans 14, 17, you know what that verse says? The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but peace, joy, righteousness in the Holy Spirit. To me, that's how the light is displayed in us. Talks of, it's really referring to, I think, spirit, soul, and body. If you, I don't know if you've seen it quite this way, but righteousness is what? Right standing with God. That's a gift. We don't earn that. And a lot of people are mistaken thinking, I've got to strive to be moral so I can be righteous before God. Righteousness is a gift that Jesus won for you. When you accept the gift, then you can live the moral life. But no matter how moral you act, you can never earn right standing with God. Now, when we have a revelation of that right standing, that's what grace. You know, the word says, to whom is forgiven much, loveth much. When we get a revelation of how much we've been forgiven and how everything we have is just a gift because God loves us, it opens up the love from our heart and our spirit. That's where that love starts flowing through. Peace has a lot to do with our minds. In this age, I think the human carnal mind is anxiety driven, right? You look at the world and it's kind of like a scanner. What's wrong? What's wrong with this picture? There's a lot wrong with this picture, so we're troubled a lot of the time, aren't we? What's the peace of God? It gets to the spirit of our mind. Remember, it talks about the renewal of our mind, the spirit of our mind. It's not what you're thinking, but what's behind what you're thinking. Peace is, it is settled by the word of God. So when we have peace, that light is emanating through our thinking. What's happening? We have heaven's perspective of this world. We're looking at the same stressors and saying, this is what the Word of God says. This is how God sees this. When Elisha and the servant, remember, were going to be overtaken by the armies, and the servant was afraid, Elisha prayed, God opened his eyes to see, and the servant saw that heaven was just surrounding them with power. The same army was coming to take them, but heaven's perspective had peace. And that's really, again, that light coming through our thinking is the peace of Christ. How about joy? I think that deals with our emotional state. I'm not saying joy is an emotion, but it impacts our emotional state. We feel so many things. There's so much insecurity. Fear just has so many inroads into our emotions. And when light emanates through, there's the joy of the Lord that becomes our strength. Jesus said, for the joy set before him, what? He endured the cross. Joy is not just a happy feeling, but it does impact your emotions, and that's part of the light. When the world is to meet God, we're not called to preach Him into it. It's not doctrine they're looking for. They're not looking for the right religious approach. Oh, yeah, you put together all these teachings. I've been searching all my life for that. People are searching for love, knowing that they have right standing with God. They're searching for peace and joy. Being the light means that those qualities are coming through us and touching other people. That's the gospel of the kingdom going forth. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on a lampstand that it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Good works don't necessarily glorify God. Good works don't necessarily reveal the Father to people. But when we're being the light, the works that come out of that have with them a revelation of the Father and His love. Chapter 6, verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. If we can have a right, what is it, focus, priority? That eye is single. The natural process that comes out of that is we get filled with light. Seems so simple, isn't it? It's like Mary and Martha. The natural state is so much like Martha, isn't it? It's like with the Lord's coming, we're concerned about what can I do for Jesus? We'd be the same way. He's coming to your house. I'd be concerned. Okay, the house has got to be in order. Hope he likes my cooking. Hope I make a good impression on him. If not, I hope the next visit's better. We think about all the things that we can do. And Mary sits at his feet and listens. And he said, this is the one thing that is important and necessary. The one thing that Jesus responds to is that listening heart. I think that's what the single eye is all about. Sitting at his feet and listening. I'm not talking about the Eastern practice of meditation or just certain disciplines. It's an attitude of heart. Jesus, I'm at your feet. I care about what you have to say to my life. That's my priority. That's the single eye that brings in the light. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. We just have a few more verses. I just love some of these. So much concern about the world around us, isn't it? We live in a day and age where there's so much going wrong, and people say, you've got to be activist, you've got to get out there and do something. Other people say, I'm just going to pray, what can we do? I think we should all acknowledge one great truth. We need divine intervention. Whether you're out there doing a lot of stuff or whether you're in a prayer closet, God has got to come on the scene. There's just too much wrong with this world to fix with any political party or view. Look at Isaiah 49:6. It says, I will make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Is it so simple that God is just looking for people to be Christians? We got to do this. We got to do that. It's like Martha, anxiety driven. So many things we got to do. We just need to be the light. That's what it means to be a Christian. When we are a light, salvation is released to the ends of the earth. It doesn't talk about anything stopping the salvation, hindering it. The light opens the door for God's power to reach, I believe, into every realm. I don't care how you talk about the enemies of God. Oh man, they're standing against what God wants to do. When there's light, darkness flees. I don't think we should be so anxiety-ridden about the world around us. We should be concerned. But I think we should realize that our responsibility is to be Christians. Believing in Christ, yes, that's the name of the game. Jesus, they asked Jesus, what can I do to be saved? Believe on him whom he has sent. But once you believe, that leads you into that process of becoming light. You accept and receive the fact that his light is in you. There's an exchange, your life, the old life, for his life, the new life. That's what the nations are waiting for, people who are a light. All right, two more verses and we're done. Isaiah 58. You know what this chapter is about? People of Israel are wondering why things aren't working. They look at God and say, we're doing all the stuff you want. We're fasting. We're holding on to all the traditions. You'll have to read the chapter later. Verse 3, it says, why have we fasted and you don't see us? Why have we humbled ourselves and you don't take notice? And then God exposes what's really going on. He said, here's the fast I want. You see all these people that are oppressed out there? Set them free. Stop criticizing one another. Stop pointing the finger. Be the light, is what he's saying. We're looking at actually just verse 7 and 8. The last part of verse 7 says, do not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth. Do not hide from yourself. Then your light will break out and be healing. Now hold that thought, and I'm just going to read to you. You can read this later. 1 Corinthians 4, 5. It says, therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, then each man's praise will come to him from God. The light that we let expose our heart is the light that reveals the Father through us to the world around us. What Psalm 58 is talking about, 1 Corinthians 4, is we have to let the light inside, for we're not hiding from what God wants to reveal. Why would we hide? Well, the presence of God, when it's a light shining inside, is exposing our motivation. We don't like that, do we? Things that we keep in darkness, we want to keep in darkness. There's a reason we put it in the closet and close the door. But we can't be a light to the world if we don't allow that light to shine in our dark places. I think that takes courage, doesn't it? God, why is it so hard to shine like a light? Why is it so easy to fall into religious tradition? And I just want that living relationship and just let that light flow in me, through me. Well, maybe we need to ask ourselves the question, are we resisting the light shining on our heart and life and exposing things that maybe we would like to hide from? Can't hide from God anyway, can we? So why do we resist so much? Last verse is Isaiah 60, 1 through 3. You all know this, don't you? Arise and shine. I'm going to read it from three translations, and I'm not going to comment on it. First, from the Standard, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, darkness will cover the earth, deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, his glory shall appear upon you, and nations will come to your light. Okay, from the Message Bible. Get out of bed, Jerusalem, wake up. Put your face in the sunlight. God's bright glory has risen on you. The whole earth is wrapped in darkness. All people sunk in deep darkness. But God rises on you. His sunrise glory breaks over you. Nations will come to your light. Amplified. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine. be radiant with the glory of God. And it says the same thing, nations will come to your light. Let's be the light. Father, bless the word to our hearts this morning. Turn that light switch on inside each and one of us to realize this awesome treasure, your presence, we carry with us every day. Amen.